Our next guest is Elliot Friedman from Hockey Night in Canada and Sportsnet and 31 Thoughts. And I know you posted about it as well today. But then I read the comments, and like everyone did is just rip your hair and beard. But you knew what you were getting into.
Well, you know what? Like the thing is, like, I think it's funny. You know, here we are. We're going through this absolute ridiculous time in life. And if you know, if people are gonna take shots at my bald spot or whatever, like who cares? Like, let everybody have some fun. I thought it was really funny. Like the spray on thing, I was laughing at that. Like, who do I have to impress? I'm married. I don't.
I'm sure your wife is just ecstatic at you saying that.
Yeah. You know what? You know what? What's she gonna do? She can't escape. She's trapped here. What can I do?
You do. I will say though, Well, I mean, you've had moments where you look a little unkempt on the Hockey Night in Canada panel. This is like next level.
I like that. Yeah, I like that. our bosses don't like that, but I like that. Like it's funny. Like I've been joking about. I joked about it on radio in Toronto last week. The guy who's in charge I guess he's the number two producer at Hockey Night, number two guy, Eddie Hall. Like he sent me a note a couple weeks ago. Like, how do you feel about giving that beard a trim? And I just completely ignored it. And I've been talking about it. I mentioned that I ignored his email on radio last week in Toronto, and he sent me a note like, I still think you should trim it. And I just laughed at him, and it was funny. Like, we were doing it in a fun way with each other, and I just laughed at the idea. And like, this is just going. Somebody called it my plague off beard. That's what he called it. So I guess that's what it is.
I like that. Trademark that.
Yeah, it was good line.
Now, you know, Elliot, there's been a lot of talk in this market, especially since last week, about scouting Judd Brackett and everything
I heard that this topic is banned.
I thought we had I thought we had a moratorium. Don't go sandbagging
me.
Well, no, you
minutes
into the show.
Have a moratorium on it. You do, Andrew.
Okay, right. Sorry.
No, you're right. So Andrew is
I'll sit this one out.
Okay.
But obviously, you know, this story has gotten a lot bigger than I think anybody had envisioned the way it went. And I know you made the point too. You saw what happened with LA, like Mike Fuda. They just decided to part ways before the draft, and there's a clean cut, and it's the first thing we heard publicly about anything going on with those parties, and moved on. You kind of hinted at the whole idea of maybe the Canucks have to make a decision here with Judd ahead of the draft to get ahead of this because it's getting out of control. And I think that's probably the right thing to do if you're, you know, not on the same page and it's headed in that direction. But could it also be one of those things where you're looking at the draft being a week away and still trying to get all your ducks in a row as an organization before you make that decision?
I don't know. I don't think the draft, I'm having a bit of trouble here, Sad, figuring out what exactly is going on with the draft. I've had some guys tell me they think that, you know, they succeeded in changing the NHL's mind. I've had other guys tell me, don't kid yourself. You know, they said in that memo they sent out a week and a half ago that they need 30 days or they're going to give 30 days warning. So it looks like we're past June 5th and 6th. I had somebody tell me today he thinks that what they could end up doing is just say, we're still doing it, but we're doing it on the original days. So I think we're all kind of wondering what exactly is going on here. As I said, I thought that maybe they would say, okay, we're divorcing here and let's move on. And the Kings have kind of done that too. Now, I will tell you there's been a little bit of a discrepancy. Initially, I was told that Fuda had permission to talk to anyone. Then I was told that, you know, the Kings still have his rights until June 30th and you have to apply for permission ask for permission, although it's expected to be granted. So there's always little formalities here and there. There's a couple of things I think that are going on with this Canuck thing. I think the Canucks are furious at this. Okay. I think they're upset. I think they're angry. I think they feel that, I had a couple teams tell me this does not look good on anyone here. Okay. It doesn't look good on the Canucks. Because, you know, Brackett does have a good reputation and they've marginalized them, and that's probably not a good thing. But I've also had people tell me this isn't good for bracket because somebody clearly is going out of their way to make the Canucks look awful by saying that everything they do is stupid and everything that bracket does is smart. And the thing is that there's only two logical explanations for this, that either he's saying it or somebody he knows is saying it. And I've had a couple of teams tell me you don't want to be in that position because now everybody else who's going to look at this is going to say, okay, if we ever have a problem, look what just happened in Vancouver. So like that's my thing here is that this hasn't worked out great for anybody. Now, I think the most likely scenario as I sit and talk to you here at 4:14 Pacific time on Tuesday, May the whatever day this is, 12th, is that the Canucks just let it play out. He stays until the end of June, and that's it. And then everybody moves on. I heard that the Canucks were just like, we know this is a crazy story here. We know it's all over the place, but we're just going to go on this path, which in some ways, I think you is the right call because you can't let the craziness of social media and sports media run your organization. But I just think that right now, the more I talk to other teams about what's going on, and I will tell you, some teams had no idea, and then they started looking to it. The overwhelming response that came back to me is nobody's going to win out of this situation. Brackett will get another job, no problem, because he's got a good reputation. But a couple teams said to me there would be a lot of questions about how did this information get out.
Because I do think there's something here, right? Because if you've gone this far with this whole bracket situation from a management perspective and you waited this long before doing anything, you may as well just see it out then. Because if you're trying to get ahead of it, you would have got ahead of it before you would have figured it out. So just stay on that same track. I can understand the logic behind that. And as far as, you know, how this makes each party look, I do think it's very interesting. I think it's very, you know, one thing you got to be very careful about is information that comes out, and we're privy to it when you're investigating things. And I don't need to tell you about how you do your job, Elliot, but you talk to certain people, you get certain information, and, you know, you verify it through other sources. And I got to say, I feel very comfortable about the things I've said about everything that has gone on. But I do think that there is stuff that has gotten out that may have not come from those legitimate sources on this that have turned into narratives around the situation. And I'm going to leave it at that without getting into too much, but I do think the nuts and bolts of the disagreement between these two parties with Brackett and the organization is one thing between them and, you know, certain other things that are going on. But there's another narrative on top of that that's being built. And I think people think it's coming from the same source when it may not be coming from the same source. And I do think that's where the social media aspect of this makes it bigger than it actually might be.
Yeah, Seth, that could all be true. And I think you make a good point there. Like, I've been in the same situation as you where I have people, you know, questioning my motives or questioning people who are telling me motives. And, you know, I never give up my sources. I think if you do in this business, no one's ever going to tell you anything. You know, I have a standard rule when somebody asks me who told me something, I'll say, look, if you ever told me something in confidence, how would you feel if I gave up your name? And it usually works, although some people sometimes yell at me for it anyway. You know, I get that all. I just, you know, like, I don't know who's telling you what. I don't want to know. That's your business, not mine. And I'm certainly not questioning any of your reporting here. All I'm just saying is that I'm looking at it from outside. And I'm asking other people, you know, what do they think? And this is the answer that I'm getting, is that it's really not good for anybody. When your organization's dirty laundry is aired like this, it comes at a bit of a cost. People's reputations suffer. the confidence in the organization can be shaken. And then it becomes who benefits from this information becoming public. And I've been on that when I've reported things, and then I find out, like, then somebody will text me like a little bit later on and say, hey, did you tell anyone that we spoke? And I'm like, nope. And that's when you know the heat's on. And, you know, that's the game that's the stuff we deal with, guys. Like, people tell us stuff and people try to find out. And that's why you have to be very careful about who you ever admit you talk to.
Elliot Friedman joins us on Sportsnet 650, and I know I said I had a moratorium on this, but
this is actually an interesting conversation. So you want to continue?
Yeah, I'll get back in the and speaking of you know, reputations and things like that, and I don't want to get too much into rumors and innuendo, but the one name that always comes up in situations like this, and there's a built-in narrative I think kind of working against him is John Weisbrod. And mm-hmm. and I think the average person would think, oh, you know, it's they paint Weisbrod like he's, I don't know, Grima Wormtongue from Lord of the Rings. I don't know if you know that reference, but and there's stories about him in Calgary and then here, and is he a reason for splits and a divide? Like, what is Weisbrod's reputation in all of this?
He's a polarizing guy. I mean, there's no question about that. If you ask anybody about John Weisbrod, you meet nobody with a neutral opinion. There are some people who speak very highly of him. There are some people who speak very negatively of him. Now, I generally don't tend to worry about that because I think that, you know, this is just a bit of an aside. Like, we're all watching The Last Dance now, right? Mm-hmm. And the best thing about The Last Dance, I think, is that it reminds people that if you're going to get to a high level, there is a certain element of you that has to be willing to do things that are not nice, because not everybody can get to the high level. Now, that doesn't mean that you should be a bad person, and it doesn't mean that you should treat people, go out of your way to treat people poorly, but it does mean that you have to be demanding. It does mean you have to have high standards, and it does mean that you have to be willing to compete at a level that a lot of people aren't willing to go to. And I look at that, and I see a lot of sports is like that, not only on the playing fields or surfaces, but in the boardroom. And I think that if you're going to be successful, there's a certain you know, you have to be willing to do some things that maybe might not be very nice. And John Weisbrod in his career has not been afraid to do that. And it's made him enemies. There's no questions about it. Like, when I covered the NBA, one player and the people around him I knew pretty well was Tracy McGrady, because he played in Toronto. And Tracy McGrady and Weisbrod had a really nasty falling out in Orlando. Weisbrod was the guy who traded him to Houston. And when he first got into the NHL, Weisbrod, I reached out to some people I knew, and they, it won't surprise him at all to hear this, they couldn't stand him. They hated him, and he hated them. And I just think that's the way he is. He is polarizing. Nobody who knows him has anything sort of in the middle to say. It's either I like that guy or I really don't like that guy. And the one thing I do believe about him that I've heard is he likes a small group. He believes in small circles. Some guys, but like Kenny Holland is a bigger circle guy. He'll run things through people. What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? John Weisbrod's not like that. He's a smaller circle guy. And I think that's why you've seen some of the changes you've seen in Vancouver because of that.
Elliot Friedman, go ahead, yeah. Go ahead, Seth.
No. No, I mean, and it's very obvious now. Moving forward, we saw what happened when, after Trevor Linden, and now with this new regime. Like, this is very much their show now, right? Like, everything we see from this point on, they wanted to craft the front office in a certain way, and now they get it, and now we're really going to see, the front office and the direction that they truly want, and there's really no impediments to them to that point now because that circle has shrunk to being what they want it to be. So from this point on, we'll see how this thing all shakes out.
Yeah, I mean, like, I mean, we know that there's an end on this, and that's June 30th. Unless the draft gets pushed later, and one of the things that could happen, Sat, is if the draft does push past June 30th, is all of the scouts or executive staff whose contracts are up by then, it could be extended up until the draft. So it's possible it goes on longer than that, but I think, one way or the other, if we have a draft in June, this sorts out by June 30th. And like I said, Brackett will be a free agent and somebody will sign him. I heard that he runs a great pizza place on Cape Cod or something like that. So, he'll be popular also for that reason. Like, he's going to have no problem finding other work. I just think that I think the word I've heard a lot about this last couple of weeks is just unfortunate for everyone involved.
I can't believe we used like your entire hit to talk about Judd Brackett.
You know what? I got to tell you, the fact that you had this moratorium and I completely destroyed it, that's going to be the highlight of my week.
Yeah, well, yeah, I blame Sat. You guys had Binnington on
By the way,
yeah.
I got to say this, like, Sat, this is congratulations on life with Andrew Walker, eh? Like, something goes sideways, it's your fault.
Oh, always.
That's
That's
true.
I live this life now.
Yeah,
Hey Matt, if you wanna,
congratulations.
you just said it. If you wanna reach that top level, sometimes you got to do things that
That's right.
that
I
aren't
like that.
great. Yeah,
Yeah.
You guys said
Just
Binnington.
wait until I shiv you then, Walks.
Yeah, you guys said Binnington on 31 Thoughts. He is such a, it's still such a curious case to me. Like, I don't understand goalies. Like, I'll be the first to admit that, but I just don't understand how a guy can be loaned out to, like, career basically done and win a Stanley Cup like 6 months later. It's still crazy to me.
I think it's I think it's so true. And like, how many, like, 1 year wonders have we seen?
Between the pipes?
Yeah.
Yeah, tons.
I don't like to compare him. I don't like to compare anyone to Patrick Waugh, because Patrick Waugh was that guy. So we did Ask 31 today with Jake Allen. And, we were talking to him, and I asked him, like, do you think guys want to play? And, he said, we want to play the Blues because we think we can win. And, imagine he, and they are good. Like, he's not full of it. Like, they're really good. Imagine the guy wins two in a row.
I gotta stop. I'm so dumb. I thought you had Binnington on 31. You had Jake Allen. So this line of questioning is just
No, but
yeah.
no.
Thanks,
But
thanks for not blowing me up, but, like, totally dropped the ball on
You
that.
know what? There's no reason to blow you up because we had him on a couple weeks ago.
Right. Maybe I was confused. Yeah.
Like, we've had them both on. So yeah, Andrew, like, if you wouldn't have said anything, I wouldn't have done it, because I was like, yeah, we had him on a couple weeks ago. We could have been watching that.
I just refreshed. I just.
I've made worse mistakes
I
on here
know.
than that,
Oh,
Walker.
really?
Give me
Name
a break.
one. No.
Yeah. No. Sorry, it brings back to painful flashbacks.
I just refreshed the 31 Thoughts page, and it's Jake Allen. I thought it was Binnington earlier. So,
Yeah, it was a couple
anyway.
weeks ago.
Yeah.
Pony
Well,
Express
Elliot.
takes a while to arrive in Vancouver. Yes, Seth?
On something, like, actually topical as opposed to something that was a couple of weeks old,
Yeah.
what have you heard when it comes to the latest on the return to play stuff? I know day to day you feel optimistic, you feel pessimistic, and I just talk about, you as the proverbial sense of all of us watching this. And today in the NBA, at least, there seemed to be a bit more optimism about getting things going again. Where do you kind of feel like hockey's at this point? If they're willing to push the draft back a bit, does that kind of mean they're a bit more optimistic that perhaps games do get played later this summer?
Well, I really believe that, and I've been consistent on this. They're going to do anything they can to play. Now, I believe that timeline has moved back a little bit. You know, the NHL guys always told me that I speak to, they believe that baseball would go first. Now, baseball has a big issue right now, and that's a bargaining issue. Like, they're really going to, it sounds like there's going to be a really big fight here over revenues and how they're all going to work. But in terms of return to play, they could play July 4th, I guess it is. I guess we'll find out soon. And there's no way that I don't think the NHL is going to be ready to play by July 4th. I would be astonished if the NHL is ready to play by that. And I can't see it. I think what we're looking at right now is most likely they're going to try to have training camps in late June/July and maybe games in late July/August. I think that's the timeline we're at here. There's so many things still, like there's so many details that still have to be worked out. But, you know, assuming there's enough testing, I would guess that's our timeline set. You know, I saw the quotes today that came out of BC from the government, and I think those quotes are very fair. I've got no issue with anything that was said there. I will tell you that I've had some players indicate to me that they're not crazy about going to their NHL cities, being away from their families for 2 to 4 weeks, however long it is, and then some of them having to come into Canada and then quarantine for 14 days before you can start playing, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think they're crazy about that. So I think, you know, I don't want this to be taken as gospel because nothing's gospel at this time, but I know some players have raised, I don't know how high they've done it, a concern about crossing the border into Canada and then do they really want to go into Canada if they have to sit for 14 days before they can play? So I think that's another potential issue with Canadian hubs.
Before we let you go, really quickly, it's the 1 year anniversary today of the Kawhi Leonard shot. I'm not sure if you were working a hockey game that night, but between that and the Bautista 2015 bat flip, I'm not sure I've watched two sports highlights more often. And I kind of got down that rabbit hole again today. Where does that stack up in Canadian sports lore? That shot.
Oh, it's like. You know, the Raptors winning a championship was huge, but it's like, Andrew, for my generation, as big as the Carter home run was, you could make an argument the Alomar homer was bigger, mm-hmm. right? And I look at the Leonard shot and the Raptors winning. I almost think that the Leonard shot, because of the moment it happened, was bigger than the moment the Raptors won.
Well, imagine if Vince's shot in Philly had gone in 2001, right? Like that.
I covered that game. I was right there when that one, like that would have been huge. The difference is like that one was on the road. The fact that it was in Toronto and all those reaction shots happened, that made it even bigger.
The best is Jim Treliving, just sitting in the front row, yes. Just stoic. No big deal.
I know. It's like, are you watching the game?
Yeah, like, are you sleepy? It's like the biggest moment ever. Hey, whatever. Guys seen some things. Hey, we appreciate it, Elliot. We'll talk to you next week. Take care.
All right, guys. Have yourselves a great week.